I'm glad we have some alone time, Ellen. I'm working on my speech and wanted to ask a few questions.
Sure, shoot.
When was the moment you realized you wanted to marry Brian?
When I realized I wanted a baby.
Oh, okay. And what do you love most about him?
That he has a penis full of baby ingredients.
Oh.
Here's the deal. I want to marry Brian and have a baby with him because it will help me get to my ultimate goal. City comptroller.
What?
I've been accused of two things. Not liking blacks and not liking kids. Getting married to Brian, an educator, and having a half-black baby is exactly what I need to get out of this superintendent dead end. There'll be no limit to how far I can go. The locks on a lot of doors in this city are mulatto baby-shaped, Stan.
Welcome to another edition of Papa's Basement. I'm your host, John Papagiorgio. It's another solo one, actually, the second of its kind, as I recall. I'm without Veronica, I'm without Will again today, not because we had any sort of fight, any sort of beef, as the rappers might say. Veronica simply had to work on Saturday, and Will, HIV positive being that he is, his T-cell count was just incredibly low, and he was, you know, bloody mess. I'm kidding, obviously. I don't want to even joke about my brother having the high five, the hivy. Will just has some sort of cold, but she was good enough to hang around the house and give to me. So thank God I have that to look forward to in the next few weeks as my voice dries out like Cloris Leachman's twat. But hopefully I got a good show for you guys today. I'm going to do my best. I did my prep. I did my homework. I think I can bring it. If you want to get a hold of me, I'm at Papa's Basement on Twitter. The show's website, inpapasbasement.com, contains the podcasts and my writing as well. So if you can't get enough of this, and God knows why you couldn't, because as I record this, I realize what an abortion it is. But if you can't, if you're like, I'm hearing this, and fuck me, I want some more, well, then God help you. Inpapasbasement.com is the place to get it. And again, at Papa's Basement's the Twitter handle. I'm also on Facebook, you know, I post funny pictures and the articles, etc. That's facebook.com/papasbasement. Like it because it inflates my ego to see that I have over 300 people or whatever the fuck liking me on Facebook. For some reason, it always feels more organic than Twitter. Today, I got a variety of topics to share with you. I want to talk about this being the first show I've recorded no longer an employee of the illustrious and beautiful WJFK in Fairfax, Virginia, a DC radio market. Kind of sucks. I wouldn't say a dream job, because what I ended up doing there was not the greatest job on earth, but I had wanted since a child to work at that place, and God help me, just getting to enter the doors was pretty goddamn cool. So the fact that I have it no longer, not so happy about that. In addition, it was great having access to actual silent recording studios. I'm having to put this piece together in my public access station that I typically do the live show out of. And the live show is great because they've soundproofed the studio to some extent. I'm staring at the live studio right now like a Palestinian staring into Israel. They've got that little egg crate crap on the walls just taped up like it's some band's garage practice room. But it's enough. It blunts the volume. Because what I've had to endure just doing the show prep has been maddening. I've had a screeching bitch in the studio next to me. I finally had to walk out like an old man screaming, "Get off my lawn, you fucking kids." She looks at me, old, wizened, redhead, and says, "Oh, I'm sure we were yakking too much." She was just talking with two 12-year-olds who weren't saying a damn thing. No, you all weren't yakking too much, bitch. It was just you. Just you, you yappity-yapping whore. And it sucks, too, because redheads are great when they're hot. And she was probably hot in her day. And you would excuse her yapping because, well, what the fuck, as long as that mouth's eventually going in your lap, who cares? But old women are just the goddamn pits. There's no way around it. That's why I could never bring myself to get married. I don't know about you guys. The thought of marriage scares the shit out of me. Because marriage entails having sex with old women. And that is disgusting at any age. I know a lot of women out there. Even a lot of hot women. And that's what really scares me. Throw out there, ooh, I just want to get old and fat with so-and-so. Insert boyfriend's name here. The boyfriend never thinks about that lady. He just thinks you're going to be hot and young forever. And when you cease being hot and young, he'll replace you with someone who's hot and young. Because I don't care how old the man is, he wants to fuck hot young strange, not old known pussy. Old known pussy is as disgusting as it sounds. The fact that a man who's been married to a woman for 50 years can't just go out and fuck a hooker. One of the reasons I hate this country. Don't have a lot. It's a great place overall, but oh my God, do we need legal prostitution? But that's we're getting off the path here. I wanted to just bitch about how loud and obnoxious this lady was. And if that weren't enough, someone started knocking on my door and out popped a, no bullshit, a Chinese national, just some lady fresh off the boat. And apparently she had emailed everyone asking for tours of the studio. So for about 5 minutes before I recorded this piece, I was showing this lady how you make a podcast and what programs to download. Me, the guy who's saying all this right now, I was teaching someone else how to be a broadcaster. It's despicable. You know what's even better? She's going to be in the studio next week. Apparently, the old fucks next door to me playing their oldies show or whatever the hell I got going on here couldn't share their time, couldn't share their brilliance and show her how you press one fucking button, turn one knob, and talk into a microphone is too much. So because I'm actually a decent human being, in spite of what my love of profanity would indicate, I said, sure, bitch. With your really, really jacked teeth, and God, I know Will's not going to be quiet about those next week, so it's going to get awkward fast. But I said, sure, come and listen to the show. Watch me record it live. So next week, if I sound weird and strained and it's like oddly clean for me, it's because we've got Ching Chang Shu or whatever the fuck her name is watching us the whole time. And it's always weird because anyone from that land, the Orient, as I'll say, anyone from that joint is like so obsequious and so nice. And she's just going to sit there and I can only imagine bow if we abuse her. That's probably how that will work. And I'll feel bad and Will just delight in doing it even more. But it's going to be weird. I don't know why the fuck I agreed to let her in the studio. As I'm saying these words to you, my brain is actually processing it. It just seemed like the right thing to do at the time. But it wasn't. And now I recognize I made a horrible, horrible mistake. But what the fuck? Maybe she'll get on behind the mic and in her broken English tell you next week what she thought of meeting me and what she thought of the show. It could be funny. Let's get back to the outline, though. The carefully crafted outline that I banged out in 4 minutes before I hit record. And again, I'm going to talk about getting out of radio. I want to talk about the Redskins' loss, which I watched them give up the ghost to the Patriots about 2 hours ago at this point. I'm recording this Sunday evening. I want to talk about why people hate Tim Tebow. And I want to get into celebrity news, because at heart, I am a big Queen, and I live for that shit. I love websites like What Would Tyler Durden Do? And Celeb Gossip. I don't know why. It trumps real news to me, and I suppose I'm not alone in that, because TMZ is huge. But I love being a catty bitch about celebrities. Find it endlessly fascinating. I want to talk about the Lindsay Lohan Playboy spread. For those of you who don't live with their hand down their pants, one on the dick and one on the mouth, she posed for Playboy because she's broke and loves drugs and has no career. And the pictures leaked online, I believe, Friday. And there is a very, very vocal internet reaction to these pictures, which I want to get to. and which I'm not actually in agreement with. Also, want to touch on pregnant Jessica Simpson and her massive, massive fucking tits, but her huge gut. And kind of what a show Jessica Simpson has become, and yet how great she is from the tits up. It's a conundrum, goddammit. First, losing my radio job. I don't get into this much, because it's weird to me that I got to work in retrospect what is a job that it was a dream come true. For those that don't know, I was, for about a year, year and a half, I worked as an assistant producer and then a producer over at 106.7 The Fan in D.C. And what that job entails is, at first, you're just a call screener, and you're the guy hacking up the MP3s and uploading them. And once in a while, if they want to get goofy with you and invite you in the studio, that's the best thing on earth, because it's actually airtime. And everyone's getting into radio because they want to get into the air, on the air. No one wants to be a janitor in radio. No one wants to work at a desk in radio. You get into radio because you want to be behind that damn mic. And since I was a child, I wanted to be behind the damn mic at 106.7. It was the station that broadcast Don and Mike. It was the station that broadcast Howard Stern, even crazy old conservative G. Gordon Liddy. It had Ron and Fez. It had Opie and Anthony. It was, when I was in my car, it was what I listened to 24/7. The dial never moved, I shit you not, while it was a guy talk station. And that's why I do what I do today. I essentially, Lord knows you can listen to me, I'm nothing great. I just regurgitate what I've heard Howard Stern do, what I've heard Don and Mike do. The guys I grew up idolizing, fucking ingesting their every word, spending 4 hours a day, 5 hours a day listening to their show. And I worked after I did college. I never thought I would work in radio, so I wasn't a communications major. It just didn't even dawn on me that that was a viable career option for anyone. It just seemed like a magic, if that makes any sense. It was like watching basketball. It was like watching Michael Jordan and thinking, oh, I'm going to grow up and be Michael Jordan. No, you're not going to be Michael Jordan. You're just going to sit and watch and appreciate him. But to actually try out for the NBA because you saw Michael Jordan, that's not how your brain should work. And that's kind of how I went through life for a long time. I thought, well, I goddamn love these guys behind the mic, but that's not going to be me. And so I went through school as a history and psych major, and I got a desk job that I abhorred, but it paid the bills. And after a few years, I thought to myself, I don't want this to be my life. I adore listening to talk radio. This is what I do at my desk 24/7. And I'm guessing a lot of you guys listening to me do that, because if you're downloading podcasts, you're pretty much a radiophile. I can only assume that you juggle podcasts, you maybe listen to XM, you're at least spending some time listening to terrestrial radio. But again, you get off on hearing a dude run his fucking yap behind a mic, and I did too. And I thought to myself, screw it. My dream is to be on the air at 106.7. It was one of those things that just dawned on me at, I believe, age 26. It's like those guys that don't know they're goddamn gay until they're like 30 or 40. It was kind of like that. Like, I just snapped to my senses and thought, what the fuck? I want to be in radio. Why am I not in radio? It's doable, even if you have no idea how. And so I dropped out. I just quit work. I cashed in my 401k, and my old income was shit, by the way. It was under 40k a year, you know, that 35k range, where I was able to pay for a car and an apartment and live a semblance of a normal life for a 26, 27-year-old. I certainly wasn't making bank, but it was enough to get by and have a place to invite chicks over to pound some ass, and good times are had by all, man. I liked it. And I said fuck it to that lifestyle because I wanted to do something that I actually believed in, something that I was passionate about and that I didn't view as work, if that makes any sense. Like, if you love your work, you're not working anytime at all. It's all a labor of love. And so I said fuck it. I quit my bean counter job, and I got hired at a really, really tiny local radio station after months of looking for work. And it sucks because little stations, they don't even exist for the most part anymore. It's like finding a unicorn playing with a leprechaun. It's just not going to happen. These things have been wiped off the map by George Bush Sr. and his decision, I believe, probably 91, 90, when he loosened the reins on corporations owning multiple stations in one market. And so you've instead got guys like Clear Channel and CBS coming in, and they purchased all these little shit stations and consolidated their grip on the market and kind of ran these little dudes out of business. And it sucks because little stations like this are how guys who want to get into radio used to get jobs, because no one at a big station is going to hire you. Thank God one of these things existed essentially right in my backyard. And I was able to get hired by a dude, oddly enough, who knew Will, who Will went to school with this guy's daughter. His name is Don Hanslick, fucking saint. God bless him. He's how I got into radio. And I was making, under Don, to press some buttons and, again, produce and call screen, a whopping $12.50 an hour by the time I left. If you want to know what radio pays, the answer is, until you're on top, dick squat. And from working with Don and lily pad leapfrogging across a couple other stations, I was finally able, maybe 2 years into my radio career, to work at 106.7 The Fan, which had, by the time I got there, gone from a guy talk station, which was no longer deemed market viable, to a sports talk station. And again, sports talk, not something that is going to get my rod quite as hard as guy talk, because I love the fact that in guy talk, you know your hosts intimately. Their show is their life, and quite frankly, their topics aren't restricted to sports. But I fucking love sports. At least I love football, I love baseball, and I can wing it with the rest. So I figured, what the fuck, man? These guys still get to talk behind a microphone, and it's still that station that I loved growing up. So why wouldn't I want this? So I came on as an assistant producer, and my pay was dropped to 10 an hour. And the worst part is, 10 an hour over at this joint was massive, because everyone else was making 8 an hour. Yes, the guys that you hear, not so much the dudes on air, but the guys who are mentioned behind the scenes, make nothing. And here I was viewed as the high yaller, house nuh, because I was making 10. Everyone else was the field hands. And to me, that's messed up, man, because everyone who worked at this station worked their ass off. I've never seen a bunch of guys who loved their jobs more, because everyone wanted to get on air, and everyone knew the way to do that was to do their current job really, really well and pray like a mother. And it doesn't pan out for a lot of dudes, and you just wash out after a couple years getting burned out on making 8 an hour, 10 an hour, and being told over and over, hey, maybe there's something more in the budget. Because there isn't. It's, in a lot of ways, it's like the fucking porn industry or something like that. There's always someone new and fresh-faced looking to eat scat for $100 an hour on camera. So luckily, I managed to actually start getting on air and make a name for myself. And I can't tell you how awesome it was the first time I was behind a mic at that station and getting to tell my friends, you know what, if you turn on 106.7, 7 to 11 during overtime, the nighttime show, you'll get to hear me once in a blue moon lip up, because the hosts, Bill and Danny, very, very nice dudes, both of them, would have me on air once in a while just to yap. And it was goddamn, it was such a thrill. Like, I don't know a lot of people out there who really get to say, I put my mind to a goal, like a very far-fetched goal. And I know it's sad saying that getting behind a local microphone and making $10 an hour is a far-fetched goal, just a fanciful dream. But it was, goddammit. I loved that place. And I had friends who would contact me all the time and say, hey, I heard you, man, and you sounded decent. And that was all, you know, sadly, all I could ask for and expect, because there just wasn't money to be found in this. And eventually what ended up happening is the station, for those that don't live in the area and those that just don't listen to the 106.7 The Fan, they ended up moving from Fairfax, Virginia, my backyard, and I was able to work for them for peanuts because my mom's house is right next to the station, maybe 5 miles away. And I said, fuck it, I will swallow my pride and I will live off of nothing and live at home in order to work at this place. Well, they decided to move clear across D.C., about 40 miles from my front door. And sadly, that is the end of my time at JFK. I can't justify paying, in essence, to work there. I think my net would be about $10, $15 per day, and I'd be out of my house. I'd leave to get there at 5 p.m. I'd get home at midnight. I, much as I love the job and wanted it to pan into something else, I can't see it doing that, and I can't justify losing that kind of loot. And I don't know what to say other than it really, really sucks, because I loved the people I worked with, the overtime crew, and the other people you'd meet around the station. They were all characters, man. They were all fun. You'd have wild conversations, because no one gets into this business because they're fucking normal and they're not fun to talk to. We're all messed up in our own way. There's nothing better than getting off work at midnight and hanging out with friends at till 2, 3 in the morning at a local shitty diner, talking about your miserable lives, exchanging stories of the awful, awful things you've walked in on around the studio. And I'm going to miss that, because in some ways, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do after this point without that radio gig. It's one thing to kind of throw away what you had of a career to chase a job in a field that is pretty hard to get into and kind of hard to justify staying in given its pay. But when you lose that, you really got to wonder what the fuck you're doing with your life. And for me, I'm just worried because, well, what the hell? Why can't I? And I look at a lot of people and I'm going to call it office space syndrome. I think, how the hell can they work at a job that they're not too big on? They don't really care about it. It's not their passion. And yet they're sacrificing, realistically, with commute time, I don't know, 55 hours of their life to it. You got your 8 hours of work. You got your mandatory 1 hour lunch. And in this area, at least, you're probably driving at least 45 minutes one way to your gig. And I don't know what's wrong with me, man. I gotta love what I do. And I am, it seems, punished eternally for wanting that, for wanting something fun, wanting something that I care about. And so now that radio isn't exactly an option, or at least not in this area, I kind of don't know what I'm going to do with myself. Maybe do more online, more with In Papa's Basement, but I'm a little worried. Gonna be honest, and hopefully I don't go Howard Beale on y'all, all mad as hell, not gonna take it, just losing my shit behind a mic in the course of the next few weeks. I'm gonna try to do more, honestly, with Papa's Basement. Think that'll keep me going, and looking to do whatever I can writing wise to hopefully get a job that I could love that also pays really well, like the aforementioned Brendan, who is in charge of whatwouldtylerdurdendo.com. Guy makes bank. He gets to write bitchy shit about celebrities. It's something of a dream job. I'd like to think I could handle something like that. But again, you're talking being 30, and how the fuck do you get that job? I mean, really, everything I want in life is so far-fetched, and I have no fucking clue how to break into it. It's very frustrating, because I like to think I've got some talents and I've got some skills, Napoleon Dynamite style. But going to keep my fingers crossed, and hopefully you guys will reap the benefit in the meantime, and I will be creating a lot more exciting content a lot more often for you. I hope it works out that way. Now, let's go to the next subject I got. Let's see what that was as I turn to look at the outline. Oh, the Redskins loss. Yeah, that was uplifting. For those that are out of market, don't care about football, the Redskins were playing the New England Patriots today, this Sunday, December 11th, in the year of your Christ, 2011. And they lost, I believe, final score is off the top of my head. And if it's wrong, I'm not looking it up, so suck my dick. I know the touchdown. The difference was a touchdown. I'm going to go with 34-27. It's an incredibly frustrating loss because, for those that don't know how football works, again, I'm trying to keep this grossly simple. I know 90% of my audience is a bunch of sports-centric dudes, and they're going batshit that I'm explaining any of this. But I do have girls that don't really care about football listening to, and I don't want to alienate the people not into this shit. And besides, maybe my explanation will be so stupid and heinous, you will find it unintentionally amusing. But football's draft system is based on you being rewarded for being shitty. In other words, the less you win in the course of a regular season, after that season winds up, you get to draft higher in the pecking order, the top college prospects coming out of school that year. So the guys with the absolute shittiest record, they get the number one pick, who tends to be like a Hail Mary quarterback choice. Because if there's one guy on the field who can pull a shitty squad into at least mediocrity, if not completely turn their season around, it's a quarterback. He can be a one-man army. Obviously, he needs a line to block for him. But a good quarterback turns a franchise around. People want to play for teams with legendary quarterbacks. And so it's been really, really difficult watching the Skins for at least 8-7 games now for a good chunk of the season, because you want to root for them. You're trained to root for them. They are the Redskins. They are your team. But ever since week 5, week 6, it's been pretty clear they don't have what it takes to get to the postseason. Second year under Mike Shanahan's rule, his reign, his tenure, whatever you want to call it. And we walked in with two shitty retread quarterbacks, John Beck and Rex Grossman. And I think people would have been cool with that had Mike Shanahan openly admitted, and I don't know how you do this, but he's the coach, it's up to him to be political and phrase this correctly. Had he simply been the one that said, fuck it, we got two rejects, but we need to line some shitbag up behind the center, and hopefully they're not going to make a mockery of the game of football. Hopefully you guys will come out and watch these dudes play, but they're both going to suck. And guess what? We're definitely drafting their replacement come next year. Sadly, he had to throw his weight behind them, and say, hey, I like both of them. In fact, I think we can win with either one, which is bullshit. And they've proven it throughout the course of the season. John Beck got, I believe, 3 games before getting yanked and replaced with the inconsistent at best Rex Grossman. Frustratingly inconsistent is how I would describe him. So every game since it became clear that neither quarterback was going to do shit for this franchise, you've had to jockey between rooting for your team and wanting to see them lose, because a win will actively hurt their ability come postseason to draft a quarterback who will eventually, we hope, be the team's savior. It's very, very confusing and incredibly frustrating at times. What I've kind of started doing when watching the games is praying for a very close game, one that is very entertaining, but one that they ultimately lose. Because God help me, I understand they're not going to do anything in the postseason, and if they win too many games, they're not getting the goddamn golden boy quarterback. So they got to lose. And it sucks, Especially when it's against the fucking New York Jets and you want to shut up Rex Ryan's fat toe-sucking mouth. Or when it's against Dallas because to beat Dallas, I would have given up Peyton Manning in the day because I can't think straight when it comes to Dallas. And again, I got nothing against Dallas fans. I got Dallas fans who are my friends. But fuck that team. Fuck it so hard. God, I cannot think straight when talking about them. So today's game was against the Patriots. Not exactly a rival of the Redskins. Can't say that we've ever been in their league since they got good. We've never met in the Super Bowl. We've never played any games against them with much postseason significance, period. But they're fucking good. And I hate teams that just win a lot. Like the Steelers, the Patriots, the Colts before Peyton became a cripple and they became a laughingstock and now you just feel bad for them. I guess we can throw the Ravens into that mix. I don't like teams like that because my team isn't like that. I want what they have and I don't have it. So believe me, all things being equal, I wish we stomped their fucking dicks in the dirt. I don't like Tom Brady. I don't like Bill Belichick. They're arrogant pricks for the most part. Tom Brady's a pretty motherfucker. He's pretty talented behind center. The guy throws a mean pass. I don't know how good he would be outside of the Patriot system, but my gut tells me he'd be pretty goddamn good with or without Bill Belichick's help. The fact that he fucks a supermodel and is impregnated and had a child by one, even if Gisele Bündchen's pretty goddamn manly for a supermodel. The fact he fucked and impregnated and had a kid by Bridget Moynihan. You can't root for a guy like that. Fuck him. Especially in Boston. I don't even think they like him that much in Boston. They dig him because he wins. But the dude's a fucking douche, and I think they're a bunch of Catholic assholes up there anyhow. So that he had a child out of wedlock probably turns some people off. But I'd like to think of them as just an angry working class town. So I don't care who's getting results. Even if he's getting results, you gotta hate that guy if you live in Boston. Maybe secretly, and you don't openly motherfuck him, but screw him. Belichick, I'm sure they can root for because he's just a robot. And he gets it done, and he dresses like a fucking hobo in that sweatshirt of his that I'm sure hasn't been washed in 7 years because it's some kind of lucky thing. Again, they're just people, all things being equal, any normal year, early in this year even, I would have loved to see us stomp them. Sadly, you can't root for it. On top of all that, we're down Fred Davis and we're down Trent Williams, who are both out 4-game suspensions for smoking too much weed, which I would love to get on them for smoking weed because I don't get how people get hooked on weed, but I can't stop shoveling fucking hamburgers in my face. So what do I know about self-control and restraint? Glass houses, etc., etc. The game turned out, even without Fred Davis, even without Trent Williams, to be really, really good. I mean, jockeying for lead, there must have been at least a couple lead changes. I know the Skins led at least one point I'm thinking of. It was tied for a long stretch. Finally, the Patriots go up a touchdown, then two touchdowns, and then we caught up again and had it. The game was decided in the final seconds by what is maybe the flukiest play I've seen all season, with a ball being batted through Santana Moss's hands that wound up being an interception that sealed the game. Fucking bizarre, though. Ultimately, a good thing for the Redskins. At 4-9 now, they're in a very, very good position to draft a really, really sick quarterback, and I can only hope that happens. Hopefully no one else goes on a even sexier cold streak. I mean, the Colts have Andrew Luck locked up. They are winless and will remain winless. But I'm praying that everyone who's shittier than the Redskins, it's a bunch of teams that already have their franchise quarterbacks, and we get, I don't know who the fuck I want to get. I think there are like two options. There's RG3, and I'm trying to remember who the hell else. In addition to Luck, just get me someone good, goddammit. Get me someone so that come next year, I don't have to root against my team. Because it feels really, really weird. And I don't like it. It's like getting touched where my bathing suit covers as a kid. It's nothing I want to happen. Please make it stop. But enough Redskins talk. I want to talk now about Tim Tebow and why it is people fucking either love or hate Tim Tebow. And I'm a little pissed because right now I am missing the Denver Bears game. And that looked pretty goddamn sick. I think I left halfway through the third quarter and it was still 0-0. It looked like a monstrous game. The Bears are pretty fucked without Captain Diabetes. And Denver, I just like seeing win because it's a fucking freak show. For those of you who don't know what Tim Tebow is doing right now, he is the famed Gators quarterback who was and is incredibly Jesus-y on the sidelines. His big thing, I know he, don't know if he's still saying it, but he came out and said he was saving himself for marriage, which was incredibly difficult for the man, because if you Google the words Tim Tebow girlfriend, I don't know if he's still with the broad, he has a chick with tits the size of cantaloupes. And I don't care if you're a tit man. These were so good. Everybody's going to be a tit man looking at this broad. I can't articulate shit right now thinking about those tits. I want to fuck my monitor thinking about those tits. They were so good. Just Google it. You will have a great, incredible 10-second pants mess orgasm. You'll excuse yourself to the bathroom of your workplace. You will wipe off. You will come back and you'll thank me. Tim transitioned to, he was drafted, drafted 2 years ago at this point by the Denver Broncos, by Josh McDaniels, who's no longer with the team. And everyone wondered how high Tim would go because in Florida, he didn't really play a pro-style offense. He was a fucking monster in college, but he didn't play a pro-style offense whatsoever. Everyone thought the guy would be a fucking joke in the pros. He's massive. Tim's like 6'3", 240, somewhere in that range. The guy is a gargantuan. So, lo and behold, he was drafted as a quarterback, and he got shoved in this year. And he looked every bit as fucking bad as his naysayers expected him to be. And then they dumbed down the offense for him because they figured, what the fuck? We are stuck with this dummy. Let's make something happen. And lo and behold, with the dumbest offense on earth, just a bunch of running and like five throws a game, Denver's been making it happen. And the naysayers are going batshit because in a way they're right. Tim Tebow, not an NFL quarterback in the normal sense of an NFL quarterback. The guy runs 80% of his goddamn plays. When he throws, most of the time it's ugly as shit, except the last few minutes. And for whatever reason, people love to say it's Jesus as a joke, the guy fucking gets it done all the time. Fourth quarter. Now, will that be the case this week as I talk to you? I think he probably will. Because these close games, these tie games, this is where he shines. So I'm sure I will walk out of the studio and learn about like a 3-0 win by the Broncos. Conversely, I wonder how good this is all going to be next week when he plays the Patriots. And Denver's defense is pushed to the brink by just a juggernaut of an offense. But hey, what the fuck? We'll find out next week. The people into Tebow, I think a lot of us believe they're into him because they love Jesus first and football second. The guy is exciting to watch, but again, because he's so goddamn bizarre, more than him being some amazing quarterback talent in the classical sense of that. Now, where do I fall on all this? What do I think of Tim Tebow? I like the dude. Overall, I like the guy. God help me. Because he's a baller. And I don't mean that in the balla black sense. I mean it. He loves to fucking play. And he'll do what it takes to win. And the guy is the opposite of me. He never stops believing in himself. He looks at whatever's going down on the field. And he's like, fuck it, I'll win. Fuck it, I will make something happen. I believe in, like, a higher power. And you know what? Look, I'm not big into Jesus. I kind of believe you die and you rot, and that is the end of the story. And until I see something that really tells me otherwise or proves it, that's how I'm going to roll. But fuck it, whatever it takes for him to do what he does and him to have that supreme confidence, God bless him, man. And I know, sounds like a weird thing to say right after I admit I'm pretty atheist, but let him do whatever the fuck it takes to win, man. I love the dude's attitude. If he's a freak show, fuck it. Let him be a freak show. I love the establishment getting stuff shoved up its ass and anyone saying, hey, you can't do it that way, being told to fuck off. So until he really does shit the bed, and I think it will next week, but until that point, I'm enjoying the ride for what it is. So, Tim Tebow, all the best to you, man, because I know you're an avid fan. That's why I got into this totally cocky direct address of Tim Tebow. But fuck it. I like the guy. He's fun to watch. That's all I want when it comes to a guy who isn't playing on my team. Just give me a fun game to watch. And he's done that so far, so I like him. Let's wrap up this bitch with a little celebrity news. Really, my favorite thing to talk about. And again, if any of you are familiar with Brendan from What Would Tyler Durden Do, I want to work for the man. I want to work with the man. I want to do what that man does. It's the greatest job on earth. He gets to fucking write about celebs and their tits all day. And then at night, I think he writes spec scripts and other comedic crap and lives in California, aka Paradise on Earth. So God bless him. The two big stories this week, as far as I'm concerned, because I'm a guy, first were Lindsay Lohan's Playboy pictures were leaked online. For those that don't know, Lindsay has been a wreck for years now and recently agreed to, I guess, get out of hock or at least make a few bucks because no one will fucking hire her because she's such a damn junkie. She agreed to pose naked for Playboy. And at first, it had been said she was going to do the whole shebang, which means her ass, her tits, her kitty. All of it was to be paraded out, which is great because everyone's watched her since The Parent Trap, and I don't know why, but most men are sick, and if you've seen someone since they're 11 and they're now legal, you figure, what the fuck? Let's see what they got. And then it came out maybe a month ago that the pictures from the original shoot were scrapped, and Hef wasn't happy with them and wanted a much more Marilyn Monroe vibe to them, and that they were going to be a little quote-unquote classier, which a lot of people figured, what the fuck, we might not even be seeing any nudity. And Playboy's done that in the past with a big enough name, and it's incredibly frustrating because, to me, if there's not nudity, it's Maxim. If I'm buying a Playboy or taking the time to find it illegally, more realistically, I want to see, at the very least, tits and ass. So the pictures from the spread, this redone spread, where people were worried there wouldn't be nudity to begin with, leaked. And, well, first and foremost, let's list the positives. She's naked. You don't really see any kitty, but you see her fucking awesome, massive Irish tits, like, in all the pictures. And if there's anything about Lindsay, and I know the meth has weathered her face like Death Valley, but God help me, those tits are still intact and then some. That is a fearsome pair of weapons. I love them. And the wig, for those that haven't seen it, she's done up in a very, very Marilyn Monroe-esque way. And it's like the big, bright, harlot red lipstick and this just flowing, ridiculously fake blonde wig. And it's a little over the top, and it's really not a spread that's anything new, and frankly, I'd fucking would have loved her just all freckly and redhead like she is in real life, and just airbrush out her meth teeth. That's, I'm cool with just that being the only doctoring. But everyone went apeshit, going on about how boring this was, and just, it wasn't what they wanted, I guess, to which I say, what did you want out of Playboy? It's not Penthouse. She's not going to be spreading her badge or, like, pissing into a champagne flute or getting donged out by Lex Steele. It's just going to be Naked Lindsay. And as far as Naked Lindsay goes, by Playboy's tasteful standards, fuck it, man. It's okay. I mean, she's been naked before. I get it. I like seeing her naked again. Bitch is fierce. Really, really good shape. Anyone that says they wouldn't bang Lindsay Lohan because she's a wreck now is full of shit. Chick is built. Yes, the meth mouth is disgusting. Yes, you would wake up and she would have stolen your flat screen TV and your wallet. But it would be worth it. There's no way with all her issues this broad isn't sick in bed. And the thought that she had to get naked to pay bills is awesomely hoary. So just view everything through that prism, and I think you'll maybe enjoy the real pictures a little more when they come out. Get off your high horse. Everyone got turned on looking at them. Everyone fucking ran off a batch and then tweeted their snarky remarks about the pictures, but everyone ran off that batch. And the batch doesn't lie. You liked it. Let's get to Jessica Simpson and then close this piece out. Jessica's been preggers for a couple months now. I think kind of the joke is she isn't really that pregnant, and yet her fucking gut is massive. Now, the tits are massive too, because Jessica kind of always had massive tits, especially when she became fat, sloppy Jessica. Thank God she at least put some weight up there as well as in the belly. What I find fascinating about it all is I wonder just how hard the wheels are going to come off of Jessica Simpson. Just how massive that wagon is going to get before the axles give and those things go flying out like a javelin at the Olympics. Because I'm thinking she is going to get Jabba fat. I am thinking, and don't get me wrong, the tits are going to be massive, but she is going to be a wreck. And it sucks because motherhood, on average, does this to a chick. Your average broad, unless they're very skinny, very young trash, and again, I reiterate, they have to be, one, young, and two, skinny, and really, I don't know why, but three, trash. They're the only ones who can poop out a kid and have a completely untouched figure 6 weeks after the fact. Any chick who's got a figure to begin with, a little round, if you will, they're going to be wrecked by that kid. I mean wrecked. Whatever delicate tightrope they were able to walk beforehand, they fall right the fuck off it, right into the middle of goddamn pie. And Jessica's no exception. She is going to gain, I guarantee you, 50 pounds, will be a stretch mark covered mess, and will just never get into fighting shape. It's going to be like Britney 2.0, except even worse. And I know a lot of people want to act like Britney is kind of together now and kind of presentable. She really isn't. Britney is a fat fucking sow. And again, I've stuck my dick in a lot worse than Britney Spears. But by old Britney Spears standards, Britney Spears after the kid is fucking gross with like a loose belly. And it's just sad because I realize the human race has to have kids to go on. But motherfuck, man. Why does it have to do that to the female body? Why? Is it so the chick is stuck raising the kids that she can't be out whoring all the time anymore because she's a fucking wreck so no one wants it? I don't get it. I just feel bad that a chick who was a pretty nice piece of ass with, a bit of a dude chin. I will say that about Jessica Simpson, but I can forgive dude chin. Always been something I don't mind. Massive tits. Pretty slamming ass. Anyone who says they didn't like her, just think back to her whole Daisy Duke thing. God damn, that was good. It's just sad that's going to be gone forever. And I realize there's going to be a new pop star to replace it, and it's no big deal, but it's sad. It's sad even if it isn't the biggest deal. And on that uplifting note, I think I'm out of here, because I'm about to hit my hour limit on this piece, And if I extend beyond that, it gets cut off on all the various sites that I syndicate the program to, where I tell them I'm recording just an hour of audio. I want to close again by thanking everyone that I worked with at JFK, the whole overtime crew, Bill and Danny and Vic and Noodles, and just anyone that I ever did anything with around there, Alan Lamb. I always had a good time with everyone there, and I'm going to miss them. And I wish them the best in their new digs. John Papagiorgio, the show's Papa's Basement. The show's website is inpapasbasement.com. You can find me on Twitter at Papa's Basement. Find us on Facebook, Papa's Basement, as well. And until next Saturday, 3 p.m. at fcac.org/WEBR, I'm out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guests tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way.